What's poppin', everybody? Hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. My name is Ben Carlin and I am your host. Here with me today is my brother Jay, who will be in every episode.
I'm here again. And you know what? Last week, we ended up spending basically the whole episode talking about my trip to 30A.
The 30A.
To 30A, Ben.
Mr. J's worst week ever, a la Mr. Fumble.
Yeah, Mr. Fumble in his pickle car.
Yeah.
And he had like a bunch of pancakes on his head or something.
Something like that. I mean, surely at some point in time.
Yeah.
Maybe some like poorly sliced avocado toast.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, probably.
Right?
Richard Scary was such a thing when we were kids, and I don't feel like it's anywhere now.
You know, you brought that up last week, so we were talking about Mr. Fumble's Worst Day Ever, which is a book that we loved when we were kids because we thought it was hilarious. I actually wrote an entire personal cartoon called like Boxman, The Adventures of Boxman, or something like that. And I'm pretty sure that the singular inspiration for it was Mr. Fumble's.
It was a Mr.
Ever.
Fumble ripoff.
I don't know, ripoff. Like an homage.
An homage, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I was inspired by Mr. Fumble.
I wrote it in like fourth grade. It was great.
Yeah.
But anyway, so what? I mean, now that you've had like an hour since we last recorded to reflect on your week off, how do you feel about it?
I mean, I feel really good about it.
Yeah.
I thought it was great. Like we had our trials and tribulations on the trip, but honestly, like I'm only remembering having fun on it. Like it was, the problems weren't like, they were like hurdles, but they weren't like, oh, this ruined my day.
Sure.
And then we came home on like Tuesday. We had like a nice little staycation afterwards as well to like just sort of like relax and be at home and like just not have any like worries or anything.
Yeah, which is really nice. I mean, I feel like more and more the phrase like I need a vacation from my vacation is coming up. And I mean, I get it, because so often, like especially like when we do like our Disney trips, it's like you get down there and it's like it's not even like high octane or anything like that, but you're up early, you have long days, you're walking 20,000 plus steps a day, you're eating a weird diet, you've got your kids who are all sort of like in varying stages of either just like in states of sheer elation or exhausted from the heat, like there's a lot of moving parts that you're kind of like constantly balancing inside of those particular journeys.
Yeah, there's like a real like determination to like maximize your time on vacation.
Yes, yeah.
Like which is probably like born of the maybe a lack of people don't have enough vacation time.
Yeah.
So that it's like, oh, well, when I've got it, I got to make sure I'm really using it. And that ends up resulting in like not being super relaxing ultimately.
No, I mean, it's very true. Like, I don't know what the average time off per year is, but like, let's say it's somewhere in the proximity of like 2 to 3 weeks. It's like you have a 52 week year, which means that like 49 weeks, 48 weeks, you're working, and then you get like the free time that's like left.
Yeah, you get like the free time that's left. But this was what I would always run into, when I had like my job at the concert venue, was that like a lot of times you might have like 2 or 3 weeks off, but like one of those weeks is Christmas. Like, it's not really like vacation time. Like you have to take that time off. Or else, or maybe you don't, but then you have to go to work like the week after Christmas, and then that typically runs into travel things. And it feels dumb because no one else is there.
Yeah.
Like no one's getting like if you're at work between December 26th and New Year's, like it's just you're not like what are you getting done? If you're in a business that has to like, connect with other offices, like good luck. They're not there.
Because it's such a common time of year to take off. And you're exactly right. Yeah. Like if you're using one of your weeks for the winter holidays and stuff like that, then invariably what you're doing is like, it's very, it's spoken for, I guess is what it comes down to. I'm not here to complain about Christmas. It is such a fun and joyous day, and it's really so, so thrilling, only more fun now that we have kids too. But you're right. Yeah. It's like, I mean, so you have these like singular slices where it's like, okay, we're going now. Like we gotta get this in. So that being said though, my week off, I spent down in Smith Mountain Lake, Virginia, which is, basically like my, I guess this is like what would formerly formerly have been like my Vermont trip.
Right.
And now that like I've got like the boat, that like everything's operational and all that, like it's a little bit easier to just do it from home. And I will say that one of the huge advantages of going on a vacation somewhere that's 45 minutes from my house is that you're not dealing with the insane, like, okay, I had to drive 6 hours or take a flight or,
right.
you know, like, I mean,
we're eliminating travel from the.
Yes. Yeah. Like, so my brother-in-law, Mike, was there and like, there was like one day where he literally like went back because he forgot that he scheduled a, like a dental cleaning. And so he like left vacation to drive back to town to go to his appointment and then come back again.
Wow.
You know, so it's like we're close enough that like realistically certain things are just completely doable and it's not even that big of an inconvenience on everything else. So that's really nice because it also means that like, you know, the packing, the traveling, like you're not dealing with like some of the same variables. But this was like one of the weird accolades, I guess, if you'll call it that, for my week, is that I didn't shower.
You didn't shower for a whole week?
I didn't shower for a week.
Wow. Did you like do like a lake bath or anything?
I sort of like a lake, like, yeah, like, you know, I mean, you're sort of like rinsing off in the lake. I will say, and I have now read more about this, and I regret to say I actually made a bit of a faux pas, but there is a soap that you and I both are huge fans of called Dr. Bronner's Magic Soap.
Yeah.
And to the best of my knowledge, I was like, oh, this is like very like eco-friendly soap, and it is like the number one soap that they would recommend you use for like backpacking and camping and like wilderness stuff and all that. But apparently you need soil for it to like break down. So at one point in time I did wash my hair in the lake, and I was like, oh, this is okay because I'm using like the Dr. Bronner's like eco soap and it's all natural and stuff. And it turns out that is just not true. So I felt like I almost had to like come clean on that front, because I was like, I was not supposed to do that apparently, and I may have made a bit of a mess up. So my apologies, I will fix it. But yeah, otherwise that was like my week. So of course I'm at the lake, so I was in and out of the water 3 to 4 times a day. So like I'm being fully exposed, you know, to being rinsed off.
Well, like you're being rinsed off, but then you're covered in like lake water and sunscreen and sweat and all that.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Exactly. I don't think I ever became like foul. Hopefully.
we ask Alice about that.
I know. Yeah. I know. It's so funny. This is like one of those a very long time ago. I think this was back in like 2010. I was still in college and Dad and I went to an aquarium conference that ended up being like life-changing, because we ended up meeting somebody who like led me to like all of my major aquarium endeavors. But while we were there, we're staying in the hotel room, and I remember we got back to the room at night and we were watching like the Science of Attraction or something like that, and it was breaking down like all of these like different social experiments and sort of like how we are attracted to other people, and apparently like your natural scent to people who are like a good natural fit for you, it just smells good. And so I think like ever since me and Alice have been together, this is just turns out to be true. So like it seems like she can't interpret me as smelling badly, which is for the most part a very good thing, because I don't think I'm ever noxious around her, which is ideal.
Yeah.
But then a lot of times I'm like, Allie, do I smell bad? And she's like, no, I think you smell good. And I'm like, okay, well, you're not the right person to ask.
Yeah.
But then you can't ask anyone else.
Yeah. Hey, come smell me.
Come smell me. No, I'm not doing that.
Did you realize like, oh, it's been 3 days and I just haven't showered yet. Now I'm gonna see if I can hang on to the finish line.
It's like at some point it's got like a personal challenge.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe at first it was just sort of like, yeah, just it wasn't convenient for a while, but now I'm seeing how far I can go.
And you know, I don't know that I really think about it, because like it's like you wake up and I think that since I've had Addison, this is not even like the first time where this has like largely been true on a trip I went on. But most of the time, any vacation I go on will at some point in time involve a scenario where you get like medium grade dressed up to go somewhere.
On a vacation.
Yeah. Yeah. Like whether it's like, okay, like we're all going out to dinner tonight, or like there's a like a like an outlet mall or something. Like if I was going to go like try on clothes, I'm absolutely showering before I like go and expose that aspect of myself to the world.
Mm-hmm.
And leave that behind forever and for always. But otherwise it's like, you know, I mean, it's funny because like there was more than one occasion where I fell asleep sitting up in a chair. So like clearly I had time at different moments throughout the trip, but like you wake up in the morning and you're like immediately like in parent mode and getting like breakfast and all those types of things squared away and figured out. You get all that taken care of, then you naturally progress from like coffee and breakfast to sunscreen and towels and getting like all those things ready. And then you go down and you're playing in the water for a period of time until it's lunchtime. Then you come back up and kind of like rinse and repeat the process.
And then, and like at some point you're like, do I need a shower? So like when should I go before bed? Because like then I'm just gonna wake up and go immediately get dirty again, you know?
Right. I mean, that's like part of the thing. Yeah. And like a lot of it too is like we were getting to the end of every night. Like I go down and I would do like bedtime with Addison, and then like everybody was kind of like waiting on me to come back upstairs to like start the evening's festivities and like getting into like whatever we're gonna get into that night. And so a lot of times it's sort of like while I was doing bedtime might be like an opportunity for everybody else to like clean up and do all those kinds of things. But I don't know.
But Alice just never did bedtime.
Well, we tag teamed it. I would say tag teamed it for most of the week. But when Addie is out of her natural sleeping environment, like we've been really good. This is like the number one recommendation that I make to people who are like expecting children is like sleep training is like the thing that we did that worked really, really well. And it meant like we were getting full nights of sleep like earlier, and like Addie's been like reliable, and like we have like an entire like sequence of events. And like I don't know if it's just Addison, like she might just be like naturally predisposed to like this working. Like I think about you waking up early, like when we were kids, like you were never the kid who mom had to go and like shake their leg like 10 times in the morning to get ready for school, because like you would just pop up in the mornings.
Yeah.
And like that's just like a great natural feature of like who you were as a child from a parent's perspective.
Right.
And so I don't know if like maybe Addie is just good at this, but we did sleep training and I was super skeptical of it, but it worked. And the only hiccup to having something that works when it's like living inside of its system is that when you step outside of the system, things tend to not work as well.
Right.
So bedtime is like a little bit more like a fiasco because you kind of have to like accommodate like the fact that she's eating an unusual diet. She's in an unusual place. There's a bunch of different people there, all of whom she's excited about. We're doing like all the ups, downs, all arounds. Plus then she's usually like the classic thing with children is that they get so tired that they're impossible to put to bed because they get so upset.
Yeah. Like too tired to sleep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it ends up being like its own thing. So anyway, it's not really like the first time when I've been on a vacation where this has happened to me, like where I'll get to the end of it. It's like, I only showered that one time, and it was in the outdoor shower. And like, I don't know. Does that even really count?
It absolutely counts.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I do love a good outdoor shower.
Who doesn't love a good outdoor shower?
Aspiration for my life is to have like a primary bedroom suite with like a deck that comes off of it and be able to like walk out onto the deck and have like maybe like a little barrier between like where like my two chairs would sit, like looking out into the forest.
Yeah.
And around that barrier is like an outdoor shower.
Oh man. I'm surprised we're not building that right now.
Should we be?
Maybe we should.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. All right. I like where your head's at.
Cool.
Yeah. This is working out well.
Yeah. It sounds like a really good spot to take an outdoor shower.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's my thought too. So anyway, though, that was my one weird thing about the whole week. But the other thing I'll say about it, because I also remember this when I was probably in like ninth grade. I'm gonna go with ninth grade, maybe eighth grade. I started to get like, you know, acne as you do. Adolescent teens tend to do.
Puberty.
And
heard of it.
Exactly. And I remember like I got like the Clean and Clear face wash for the first time with like the little like exploding beads in
They're like the exfoliating whatever bubbles or something. Yeah.
Right. And that was the first time in my life leading up to being, I don't know, 13, when my shower regime didn't involve a generic bar of soap and like Suave or L'Oreal shampoo,
right?
You know, or like whatever the stuff that like cost like 99 cents at the store was. And for the most part, I probably used all of those products completely interchangeably. I don't know if I was washing my hair with a bar of soap. That was
yeah. Like, what?
Yeah.
Wait, back up.
I have since had a bar of soap for shampoo, and I will say that there is, like when it's specifically designed that way, it works really well.
Oh, that's good
to
know.
I'm all for bar of soap shampoo.
Nice. I make my own shampoo with thyme oils, actually.
Okay. smells like clocks.
Smells like time, man. Yeah. Smells like minutes of the day.
Anyway, The thing I remember about this phase of my life, though, was that I think it coincided with growing my hair out. I had always had a buzz cut for the longest period of time.
Yeah.
You know, and then like my forehead starts to be like covered in these breakouts, and I'm just so embarrassed. And so it's like partly I'm watching like Steve Prefontaine. I'm a cross country runner doing all those types of things. He had like the long hair. I'm kind of growing out the long hair, whatever, like kind of be like pre. The other thing was like, well, if I grow out my hair, then you can't see my forehead, which is just basically covered in breakout.
Right.
So I got like big on like the washing my face regime.
Yeah.
And I remember that there ended up being like a canoe camp that I was going to go on.
Yeah.
I was going to be out on the river for like 4 days, and it was going to be like, I don't have access to any of this type of stuff, and we are not going to be taking showers, and you just... I was like, I'm going to be so gross by the time I get back.
Yeah.
And I remember I got back and my skin was like flawless.
Wow.
And I was like, whoa. Like, if you like let your like, you know, natural oils do what your natural oils are going to do, sometimes there are other benefits.
Yeah, yeah. And turn the, just, you know, use God's water there in the river.
That's it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
I only bathe in freshwater streams. So.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure I smelled bad, but, you know.
But your face was clear.
One, not to Alice, and two, I didn't have any.
Not to Alice.
I didn't know her yet, but
yeah.
But if I had...
Well, I mean, your skin looks clear right now, you know, it usually does these days. So right, maybe it's not, you know, not the lake water work. Maybe it's just that you're in your 30s.
Right. Oh, man. Other brief aside about this canoe trip, though, when I was a kid, is that I it was a religious centered canoe camping experience. Oh. And as you know, I'm not particularly...
So it was God's water.
That's what my counselor would have had you believe. I am not a particularly religious person. And I would say I also usually was like star pupil, never got in trouble. Everything was like all good. No problems whatsoever. I was not a troublemaker. I think on this particular trip, it got established a little bit early that like me and the head counselor guy did not see eye to eye on things. And so I felt like there were like lots of precautions and warnings and probably safety related things that he was really big on. And I was like, I feel like you're overreacting and everything's going to be fine. One of the things notably he didn't want us to do was to jump headfirst off of our canoes into the water because you don't know what's in the river or how deep it is.
Sounds pretty reasonable.
Yeah. But I remember at one point in time, I was getting really good at like standing on like the actual like bow of the boat. Cause my good buddy at the time, John, was in the back, and
yeah.
he would keep everything nice and anchored for me, and I could stand on the front of the boat, and I like went to like swan dive off, and I went like just enough underwater to like make myself go away, and then my two hands caught a rock.
Whoa.
Like before smashing my face into it. And I mean, it would have been like diving face first into a rock.
Yeah.
And I remember popping up, and he was so upset with me. He was like, "You cannot do that." And I was like, "It's fine.
Look, does anything look fine?"
But then like
you see this face? Yeah. It's clean.
I'm glowing.
I'm glowing. My skin is better than it's been in months, dude.
Right, right. If TikTok was a thing right now, I'd be popping off.
Dude, I had a similar experience once upon a time at our good friend John's pool.
Oh, okay.
Yes, yes. Which I won't recommend this to anyone ever. But we had I think we'd had like a libation or so.
Okay, yeah, sure.
You know, not smart to get to have some libations and then find the diving board, but I did.
Right.
You know, this is a cautionary tale. This is why I did it ultimately, so I could tell you not to do it.
Exactly.
Okay?
You ready?
And I'm sure it's no longer the politically correct term for it, but it was like called like a suicide dive.
You would jump and you would basically like just go.
You do a dive, but rather than putting your hands above your head, you put them on your sides, and so you're just going like face first into the water,
right?
Or forehead first, probably. And you know, I remember thinking that was like a fun thing to do in like the deep end or whatever. But at John's pool, there was a deep end, but like it was pretty short if you didn't go straight down. There was like a big ramp, and I launched. You know, I was moving. I could jump. You know,
I mean, I don't want to brag, but I got some serious ups.
I got some serious air on this particular dive, and I hit the water face first. And I mean, I brought my hands up, and like I swear, like my whole body came to a dead halt from full speed, like 2 inches from the ground, from like the hill that leads you to the deep end.
Oh,
and like to this day, I'm like, I have no idea how I stopped myself from moving. Like, I was moving through the water so fast, and I should have smashed into the bottom, and I don't know. Either my hands just reacted and just pushed enough water, or just, I don't know. I think about it to this day, and I'm like, that was really dumb. That's exactly why you shouldn't do that kind of dive. And so don't do it.
I have had an idea for like a kind of like a dark comedy style film called Nine Lives.
Oh.
And the idea behind Nine Lives is that you have nine of them.
Obviously, like a cat.
Like a cat, yeah, yeah. So maybe like all the characters' names will be like Calico.
Oh,
and Buttercup.
Right, yeah, yeah. Tom.
Tom. Yeah. Tom, yeah. And they can't make characters just Tom.
Yeah.
But the idea, because you and I have talked about some of these like weird instances in our life before, like where like I famously had like the backflip into the ravine where I like over rotated and landed on my back from, you know, 50 feet. And like a lot of times I look back on that and I'm like, I don't know how I came out the other side on that situation. Like it was the single dumbest thing I've ever done. And right. It's like when people talk about like when you're like young and feel invincible, it's like I can go back to that moment and remember in my head being like, what could happen? Like, I'll be fine, you know? And it was sort of like, is like, you're afraid of doing the jump. I understand that. I can remember being afraid of doing the jump, but you will be fine. All you have to do is just let your feet leave the rock. And then I did, and it turned out real bad. And so the idea though would be that like throughout the course of this series of events, you'd be like witnessing this like group of teens effectively doing the shenanigans that we got up to as kids, but you'd be witnessing like a little like scrape kind of like coming across like the screen like doing tally marks
right
each time one of like the instances happened,
right?
And the idea is that once you've reached the ninth one, then that's the one that like goes awry. Oh,
okay.
So like if that one happens, then it's like you know, fate, whatever you want to call it, you know, will intervene nine times,
right?
But after the ninth time, it's like that's like when it's like it doesn't,
right? Right, you know? but probably that'd be an interesting movie, because then like probably by the time you've had like, you know, four or five of these situations in your life, you just become a gen, like as life is, you just become a naturally way more cautious person.
Precisely. So yeah. So like a lot of people, like, you know, in their youth would expend five of these, you know, one way or another.
Right.
And
without
and
even, yeah.
Without ever really like realizing it. Cause like there was another one that I always remember where, again, at a diving board, I was trying to do what's called an inward dive, which is like a really weird maneuver because you stand on the end of the diving board as if you're going to do, like a backflip. But instead of jumping away from the board, going backwards, you jump, like you jump out and then you actually like lean towards the board and then you dive like going in the opposite direction. Can you follow?
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think the first time I ever tried it, the huge fear of doing an inward is that you're not going to jump out far enough and your face is going to hit the board.
Yeah.
Hit the end of the board. And so like, you know, I have like another one of these memories where it was sort of like I jumped out and it was like, somehow I didn't hit the board, but I'm pretty sure I hit the board.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it's like I obviously didn't. And maybe that's like one of those where it's like, even things that feel close aren't as close as they seem. But it was close, too close for comfort.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah, so that would have been like one of my like, you know, there like would have been like a black screen that would like fill like whatever. And you would see like a white, like pencil mark, just go like.
Right.
Yeah. You know?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. All right. Well, so, the adventures of Tom and Calico. You know?
That's it. That's it. Yeah. Yeah. It'll be great. Nine Lives in a theater near you, circa 2036.
They won't have theaters then.
You just neurologically plug into the thing. And I don't know. I'm not going to make guesses on things like that. Anyway, so what have I covered so far? Near death.
That you didn't shower. Yeah. All that to say, I didn't shower for a week.
I have since showered.
Yes, there you go. Good.
Yes, yeah.
Actually, I do know what you mean, because I feel like whenever we go to the beach, I think maybe I would have times like this, but like just being in the ocean would like clear my skin up, and I feel like I would have really good hair at the beach.
Oh,
from like,
yeah,
the salt water.
Like
the
sea salt spray is like such,
yeah,
a thing.
I know. Yeah. This is just like natural sea salt spray. Just go in there. Just let it dry, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. 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 And then it's always windy at the beach too.
Exactly.
So it's kind of
wind blown.
It's getting a little tousled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay, so anyway, yeah, so I didn't shower for a week, got that taken care of. One of the things that I talked about on the pop in recent weeks was bringing a project to work on my truck, because apparently all the time that I wasn't going to use showering, I totally could have used to make a modification, like install new truck speakers. So
you brought a Grandpa Jack project with you on the trip?
On purpose, wow. Yeah. And, you know, it was really funny because I was thinking about this too, but like when we go on tour through the Griffin tour,
yeah,
there is like a kind of magic that I experience, and it's really strange, but I think what's happening to me while I'm out there is it's like, because we're out there to work, like, you know, like that is the driving force,
right?
We happen to be in interesting locations, so we do a good job, I think, taking advantage of those opportunities, and I think it's, you know, good for team bonding, team morale, you know, just general life experiences to be like, we're in Seattle, we're going to go see the Space Needle. Like, you know, you're not always in Seattle, so like make sure that you get to take in the sights and sounds and stuff like that. But I think when I'm on like regular vacation, I sometimes have a really hard time embracing these things because I almost feel like I am like guilty for not having been like more productive. So when we're on tour, I'm able to like really fully appreciate everything we're doing because I'm like, I earned the ability, because like we did a show last night, I earned the ability to enjoy this breakfast sandwich this morning at this like cool place or whatever.
Right.
You know, and like sometimes I struggle with that on vacation.
Oh, okay.
So like sometimes I actually feel like it would be like good for me, like if it was our lake house, to like wake up, do breakfast, do that whole thing, and then like go mow the lawn and then go jump in the lake. And it would be like, okay, like I did something, you know?
I earned this trip to the lake.
I earned the trip to...
Like,
all
the work you do here at the office doesn't feel like it translates to, like, you earning any of the things just for being on vacation.
For some reason, no. Mm. Yeah, it's like I almost need, like doing things that are required for the baseline expectation of living my life are exactly that. Like, I have to do those things. Those things must be done. So then it's, like, it's even interesting because I think, like, sometimes, like, home projects, like if I'm like building something, it could be extremely fulfilling because I have exceeded the baseline minimum.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, but mowing my own lawn at home, that's required. I have to do that.
That's just a chore.
Yeah. It's like, you know, it's like I don't get to the end of the day and I'm like, oh yeah, I mowed the lawn today.
Mowed the lawn.
You know, it's like I'm like, well, I had to mow the lawn today, so I got that done.
Right.
Yeah, check. Yeah. Yeah. Got to not shower after that too.
Yeah.
That's when you need it.
But when you grow in the garden, like, no one's making you do that.
Also true.
Yeah.
Also true. Yeah. So then it's like now you're going above and beyond. You're interacting with the land.
Exactly.
Yeah. But I wonder then if you're like a farmer and it's like your entire livelihood is making sure these things grow.
Livelihood.
Like, it's probably very stressful. Did I have a little twang?
Yeah, a little twang there on farmer and livelihood.
You know, I have yet another tangent to go off on them.
Good.
So another thing that I think is really funny right now is that when we were kids growing up, we grew up in quite a rural town. Yeah. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if many of our fellow classmates' parents had tractors. And so we had, growing up, really like southern twangy accents.
Fact.
And that was interesting because both of our parents were from up north. So like we were not getting our southern accents from them. Like, it wasn't coming from like...
Oh, it was coming from, yeah, from the community.
The community. Yeah, exactly. The people around you. And so one of the things I think is very funny right now is that Addison has like certain words that when she says them, total southern twang.
Very twangy.
Very twangy.
That's so funny.
She's got this like little like southern like something to her that it's so wild because no one at home speaks that way.
Yeah.
I know most of her teachers, they don't really speak that way, but like someone in her life, you know, must be. And it's like, I wonder like how like infectious, in a good way, accents can be to impressionable young kids, or if the reason that accents exist is almost because it's like the same reason like word like ma and pa or dad or mom are like oftentimes, despite languages being different, end up being very similar sounding things like across many languages.
Yeah,
because they're like very easy words for young children to say. So like I almost wonder if like a more what's a good way to describe this? Like, the more secluded you are from the rest of the world, the more likely you are to speak in these accents. Like, if it's like easy for kids to pick them up because it's almost more of like a natural way we'd speak. And the more refined our voices get is almost like that.
No, because like adults can pick up accents too.
Oh, can they?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
I guess I don't really think of adults picking up accents. I think of adults as losing accents.
Well, I mean, I think that happens too.
Okay.
But I think you can pick them up if you're an adult. Like, you know, I think when our parents moved down here, and then they would go back up north, all of them would be like, "Oh, you guys sound more southern."
You said y'all.
You said y'all. Oh. Y'all is the better word. Y'all is a better word.
Honestly, that would be like where I would like plant my stake, where I'm like, it's a far more inclusive word. Like,
yeah.
It's like, you know, I do it all the time too. Like when we're like, a lot of times I will like intro into something. I'm like, "Guys," and it's like, "No, y'all." And it's like, "Y'all's better."
Y'all's
you
better.
You know, cause it's like that encompasses everyone.
Encompasses everybody.
Yeah. Let's use that.
Man, I was thinking, speaking of our upbringing down in the country.
Yeah. As
down in Franklin County. I was thinking about this morning, that like that house that we grew up in there is still the longest I've lived anywhere.
No.
Isn't that weird?
Is it?
Because we moved in 2001.
2001.
So 88 to 2001, that's 13 years.
Okay.
Right?
Yep.
And then, you know, our parents have lived at the house we moved to ever since then. But I continued to live there from 2001 to 2006.
Okay.
Right? Before I went to college. And then
barely lived.
I know. It was like, yeah, this was like, yeah. So it felt like so many memories happened in those 5 years. They were like a very rich 5 years.
Yes.
Yeah. And then, you know, I'd come home for like Christmas and stuff and summers still.
Right.
For sure. But like, even if you add those up, you're not going to get to 13.
Okay.
You know, and then it was like, what, like a year in the dorms, a year at Windsor Hills, 2 years on Janie Lane. And then I suppose I moved back in to that house for like 2 more years. 1.5 after that.
Okay. Until I graduated.
Until you graduated in 2012. And then I lived in Salem with you for 3 years.
So I
bought my first house with Beth. And that was until 2019 when we moved to the house I'm at now, which is only 4 years. And I've been at that house since then. So that's only 6 years. So,
whoa.
So it is like it's a plurality is what it is. The largest chunk of the pie is still at that house.
Wow.
Just so weird to think about.
Well, it is very interesting. It's very interesting. And in fact, actually, while we were going down to the lake, one of the things that we were going to do was go do an outing because brother-in-law Mike is like a big food person. He's like a chef. And he had a former professor when he went to culinary school who opened a restaurant in Rocky Mount, where we grew up in Franklin County. And he sent me the address. And I was wanting to see like how far it was from like our lake house to see like how feasible this was going to be. And then when I saw the address, I was like, I recognize that street name. And I was like, I think this is like a quarter mile from where we grew up. And
if you opened a restaurant in Rocky Mount, it has to be a quarter mile from where we grew up.
Well, that's exactly it. I punched it in exactly 3/10 of a mile.
Yeah, yeah, I'm not surprised. There's one street, and that street was like, yeah, 3/10 of a mile.
Remember where Angle Hardware was?
Yes, I do.
Right across the way from there.
Oh, so where the Daily Grind was, where the Peebles was.
The Peebles, yeah,
of course.
All those places.
All the places. I remember the place.
Good times. Anyway,
you kept walking past that, you get to the Methodist Church.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
Wait.
That's where the Boy Scouts were.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Mary Elizabeth Park,
yes.
We could play roller hockey.
That was the other way. That was down the right. But there, yeah.
They backed
up into each other.
Right. Yeah. You're right. They did. Yeah. Yeah. Do you remember when we were down there playing roller hockey one day and you swiped down on Tyler's hockey stick and broke it in half?
Sure do.
Oh man, good times. Good times. I feel like roller hockey had this like weird moment in the 90s where it like was determined to be like more of a sport, because in small town like Virginia, like proper small town, I would still describe where we live in Roanoke as pretty small town.
Mm-hmm.
And this was like tiny compared to Roanoke, had a roller hockey court.
Yeah, it did.
That we could rollerblade to from our house.
From our house. It was about 3/10 of a mile away.
About 3/5, just as everything is.
As everything was.
Yeah.
It's not a big town. It is. Sorry, that's not true. There's plenty of people who live there. The downtown area is very small.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So anyway, I don't know where I was going with this other than now I'm just literally tangenting through memories.
Roller hockey.
A sport.
Yeah, it did seem determined to be a sport.
Yes. And it was a sport that I was like, it was like the only thing I ever did until finding rock climbing where I was like inordinately good at it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder if like we had, Luke had a friend over this past weekend and like she couldn't come over until 2 because she had ice skating practice in the morning. I was like, I wonder if just like ice skating became way more feasible in the warm weather months and ice hockey's just so much more of a thing.
Yeah.
That it just like was like, well, but ice hockey. So.
But ice hockey.
Yeah. Yeah.
It makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense.
Or maybe we're wrong and roller hockey is a big deal, just not here.
Also true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Everybody listening right now is like, what do you mean? I was going to go to a roller hockey league.
Roller hockey is amazing. We play it every weekend. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
You guys don't know what you're talking about.
I play for the Calicos. A little throwback there.
A little throwback. I got it. I hear you.
Life is a workout and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
Okay, so anyway,
so are you saying that did you drive by the old house then?
No, I was going to. We ended up, I didn't shower, obviously, which means we didn't end up going to this restaurant.
I see.
Yeah, because I would have showered to go to the restaurant.
Sure.
Yeah. So,
well, maybe we should go and we can do a drive by.
I think we should.
Yeah,
it seems really awesome.
Yeah,
place is very, very fun and whimsical.
Yeah,
it actually doesn't seem like it belongs there at all, but I love that. Okay, so where was I though? Okay, so a week at the lake. It was so interesting because you were telling me like all of your myriad of like ins and outs last week about like your like 4-day trip down to Florida, and you had like so many things to report back on. And people keep asking me, they're like, how was your vacation? I'm like, it was so good.
End of sentence.
Like we just, I mean, like we had like good weather. We woke up every morning. We had a good breakfast. We went swimming. We came in. We had lunch. We went swimming some more. We came in. We had dinner. We hung out and did drinks and games and dancing and stuff at night. Like, you know, it was sort of like a like rinse and repeat day after day.
Right.
Just like each day kind of like blended neatly into the others. And, you know, it was extremely fun. Like I had such a great time, but I'm like, I keep trying to think like, okay, let me tell you the story about the thing we did. And I'm like, what did we do?
Ben's like, I'll tell you what we didn't do. Shower.
Not even once. actually the other thing I should probably bring up about this is that I rented this home and it was like an A-frame style home, which I personally have a total fondness for.
I agree. A-frame. Yeah. Very cool.
Yes. Big fan of an A-frame. And the house itself was super eclectic. Like there was this like set of stairs, like you got like the living room and there's like a set of stairs that would go up. And these things were like, the stairs were like 4 inches long. So it was like this it was almost a ladder going up to like a loft kind of area.
Like at the Cheap Mountain Club.
No.
The place Ben hates apparently.
I hate that place.
I'm so confused by that still.
I wouldn't shower there if they asked me to.
They probably wouldn't.
They probably wouldn't.
This is a giant wooden cabin in the woods.
Yeah. No, but so yeah. So neat little staircase going up. There was like a bathroom with just like a toilet, you know, up there. And then on the main levels, like, you know, like the living room, the kitchen, and there was a bathroom. But the bathroom on the main level, and this was the thing that really tripped me up. There's 2 bedrooms on the main level. And the bathroom had a tub, but no shower. And this is because of the A-frame walls. So it was like, there's plenty of room to put a bathroom there, but like the wall then like slants down in the corner. So you could climb into the bathtub and lay down, but there was no like vertical space above it for a shower. So that meant that the only shower in the whole house was in the basement.
I see.
And so that meant that like everybody was also competing for shower space. And because I was clearly not determined to go, I ended up being very low on that pecking order.
I see.
Yeah. So everybody else just sort of went and showered.
Gotcha.
You know, yeah. Without me. Now let me touch on the Addison portion of the trip. Addison likes animals.
Sure.
And this was very cute because one morning, a couple people in our party were coming back from like a morning stroll, and they discovered a box turtle in the driveway. And I was like, Addison, do you want to go see a turtle? And she was like, yup. So we scampered right on out there. We sat down in the middle of the driveway. We picked it up. We looked at it. She touched it. You know, she was like stroking its shell and stuff like that. She had all these questions about it. It was really cute. So Touched a turtle. Check. Then we had our fishing poles with us, and we were just catching like the little fish like right there off the dock.
Yeah, like little bluegills and stuff.
Yeah. Caught a bunch of those, and Addie held like 10 of them, and she was like, I mean, she would have held the fish until they would have just like died of like
exposure.
Of air.
Yeah.
You know, because she was like, so we kept having to be like, okay, Addie, let's put it back in the water now.
But I'm holding him still.
No, I'm still holding
the fish.
We hold lots of capitillers. There was a giant like millipede, which I will be straight with you, was super scary looking.
Yeah,
she loved it.
Really?
Oh my gosh!
What?
No issues whatsoever.
Red flag.
Red flag. It's like something wrong with this kid.
I don't know about that, Addison. I don't know about that.
Yep. Something seems strange there. And then one of the other big ones is that like your kids, like we go out on the boat, and your kids are really good about like jumping off the back of the boat, and they love like, you know, climbing back up the ladder and then jumping off the back of the boat again, like rinse and repeat, rinse and repeat.
Yeah.
And like last summer, I was like, man, like Addison, she's not really wanting to do this, and it didn't occur to me until this summer. But I was like, last summer she was only two. It's like, I couldn't have really expected her to like be jumping off the back of the boat when she's right. like two.
Which is two.
Like that's like very small.
Right.
And so like this summer it's been kind of like, okay, like now we're three. Now we'll see how it goes. And sure enough, she's still kind of afraid, but like I think like the whole week she was like working up to like jumping off the side of the dock.
Yeah.
But like most of the time she was like, she would like stand up there and she'd be like, all right, I'm gonna jump. One, you're going to catch me, right? Like,
yeah.
You know, she would like keep cutting herself off from like the countdown. We went through the same thing over and over again. Eventually, she jumped in.
Nice.
She did the plunge.
Amazing.
I know. I was so proud of her. I was Excellent. So proud of her. Yep. So ring, ring, ring the bell. That was great. I don't know why I said that. That's not really a phrase that you say. Ring, ring, ring the bell. Apparently, we do now. Okay. Other things that ended up... Oh, I didn't end up doing the truck project. Did I ever mention that?
No, you said you brought a Grandpa Jack project.
Yes. So I brought... This is like a weird thing as well. I have my truck, and I've had it since 2017, and I really like it. And when I got it, it had like all these like chrome features about it. And I think that like when it was on the lot, I was like, oh yeah, chrome's cool, right? But apparently, like as time's gone on, it's like when you're like on all the forums and stuff like that, people are like, here's how you can de-chromify your truck. And
chrome's not cool.
Well, apparently, like, you know, you're trying to like, these people are trying to like get rid of all the chrome.
Chrome's out. Got it.
Since 2017. So I have like the badges, you know, that say like Tundra on the side, like that's the kind of truck that I have.
Yeah.
And they're chrome. And so I had ordered these, like they're like black cover that like are literally the exact same shape, but you like place them over top of it, and that like blacks out all the emblems on your truck. And this is like a very small project. It like wouldn't take more than, you know, just a few minutes to,
yeah, it seemed like you just like snap them on kind of.
Yeah, but like you need to like really like wash it, you know, so you're getting like all the dirt off, see, so like good adhesion, and then you're supposed to use like a hair dryer to like really like heat up.
Okay, so it's not like it doesn't like clip on, it's like a sticker kind of situation.
It's kind of like a really, really strong sticker, like in the same way that like the emblems are not held on with screws, they're just stickers. And how often has your emblem on your vehicle ever fallen off?
Just never.
Well, except for the Jeep. But
except for the Jeep, you're right.
But that predated us.
That did predate us, and I don't think that was
a sticker.
There was like a little like clip-on thing on the back, I think.
You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah. We tried to replace it at one point in time. We got the wrong size.
It was just the Jeep.
Just the Jeep indeed. So anyway, I didn't end up having time to do that. So when I got home, I did it yesterday instead. Which is why I was like coming over to your house.
Well, that's okay.
Yeah. But now the truck looks even one step cooler, and I have like two pieces of chrome left on the whole vehicle that need to be replaced.
So I gotta de-chromify my car.
I know. We're gonna have to go out and look at it and figure out where there's chrome, and then figure out like what modifications the world has come up with to make it not be chrome.
I think we need door handles.
Oh yeah.
That's kind of a cool one.
That is kind of a cool one. Yeah. Need door handles.
And then I think we need wheels too.
You have chrome wheels, don't you?
Yeah.
I did not think about that.
Yeah.
Blacked out wheels on your car would look very
cool. It absolutely would.
Here's my personal, I actually just replaced the wheels and made them bronze instead, but my favorite kind of car is white vehicle, black wheels.
Yeah, that's what mine would end up being then. I think that would be, and then I think the that Chevy makes it like the wheels that come black, there's like that like red stripe on the inside.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's very cool. So I want all, yeah. That's basically, now that you're saying it like this, that's more or less what I'm aiming for, is getting rid of all the silver parts and replacing it with black parts.
Yes.
But then also having like red like highlights.
Accents.
Yeah, red accents.
Red is a great accent for vehicles.
Yes.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think really what it comes down to is I feel like sometime at some point in time, somebody compared this aesthetic of vehicle to like a Stormtrooper. And pretty much ever since then, I was like, Stormtroopers have the best aesthetic. They are like, the Stormtrooper design is awesome.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, they don't have red that often, though.
No, they don't usually have red, but the white and black.
Yeah, they're white and black. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, but red, I mean.
They have lasers. They have the red lasers.
They have red lasers.
Yeah,
exactly. Why don't you have a laser?
Yeah, it's a little light bulb that blinks.
Laser envy. Yeah. Okay, so, okay, here's another moment from my trip. I can still do a gainer.
Hey!
Yeah.
Like with the frontwards backflip.
The frontwards backflip. Yeah, so this is like I was describing the inward dive earlier, which is like you prepare to do what looks like a backwards looking thing, but you're doing a forwards doing thing. And this is the other way around. It looks like you're doing a forwards facing thing, but you end up doing a backwards facing thing.
Yeah.
So you run forward off the dock, jump into the air, and then in the air, you tuck and roll backwards. And it's a very complicated thing to like wrap your mind around, or maybe if you never thought about it, just go try it. Maybe you'll just like nail it.
Maybe you'll just do it. Yeah.
Because I overthought it for years. And I feel like last summer, maybe there was like a day where I like really locked in on it. And I was like, I've got the gainer down.
Yeah.
And then we were standing on the dock and I think Mike was like, Ben, can you still do a gainer? And I was like, let's see. And I like, without thinking about it, I just ran and jumped. Boom. Did it.
Wow.
I know. That was a huge, like, honestly, I'm feeling pretty good about this. I'm 35 now. And I'm sort of like, every year that I can still do a gainer, it's going to be like, that's a win for me.
You'll take it.
As like a human on planet Earth.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I mean, I feel like there's a rough shot that 10 years from now, I'll still be able to do a gainer.
Wow.
As a 45-year-old.
Yeah.
I'm gonna call that like meager chances.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Well, you know, this is the kind of thing, though, I think sometimes you're like, if you kept doing the same thing every day, then like, when would you stop being able to do it? You know,
it's one of my favorite questions because it's the best way to demonstrate the just noticeable difference. Like I've always said, like if you were to take like a car that you didn't really want, but it's like a car, like a perfectly functioning car. So let's just say you've got like a 2012 Toyota Prius, mm-hmm. like a car,
yeah.
You know, it's like, it's an efficient car. It's probably not going to like win any drag races, nor is it probably going to like, you know, wow. I don't know that it's like the most modifiable thing in the world, but it's a good car.
Yeah.
And like, so if somebody rolled it up in front of you, nice and clean, everything's been good. It's got like, I don't know, like 37,000 miles on it or something. And they're like, would you buy this car for $1? The answer of course would be yes. Like who wouldn't buy a fully functioning vehicle for $1?
Right.
Even if your goal is to just sell it. Like,
yeah.
You know, it's like you would buy it for a dollar and you would continue to say yes, probably all the way up until like, you know, $3,444. But at $3,445, it's like $1 made the difference. Like it is officially too expensive.
Right.
It wasn't too expensive $1 ago.
But now it is.
But now it is.
Right.
You know, and at some point that line just gets drawn.
Right.
And so you're right. Yeah. If I did a gainer every single day, it's like, is there a world where I would just get so good at it that I'd be like 78 years old and it's like, I'm going to go bust out a gainer because I can.
Right. It's like, you've been doing it every day. Your body knows how to do it.
Right.
Right. Or is it just sort of like, or would it, you know, you just like decay slowly and to the point where it was like one day I was like, that was a lot harder. Or eventually you just like pulled something or, you know, whatever.
Well, you know what it reminds me of is that trend that I feel like was going around a little bit where like it's like the my spouse and I realize we never have seen each other run at full speed.
Yeah.
And you know, it's like, it's such a true thing. Like, you know, as a full grown adult, how often are you sprinting? It's like, unless you play some type of like, you know, like rec league sport.
Right.
You know, where there's like a specific reason to, it's like, as adults, for the most part, we don't have reasons to run as fast as we are capable of running.
Right.
And so it's kind of like, it can be this like very funny thing, but it's also like, it's a very fascinating like setup. Like you think about preparing yourself for the future. And I think in recent episodes of the Pop, I've talked a little bit about like saving for retirement and stuff like that, like making decisions now that will like prepare you for then. And then you and I have also talked about like exercise, like working out and lifting weights and stuff like that. Like we both try to be fit people, but neither of us is exactly like going to go win a bodybuilding competition or
certainly
something.
Certainly not. Yeah.
You know, but like a lot of like what we're doing is maintaining a kind of strength that hopefully will pay good dividends for our health when we reach a certain age, because
right.
It's like you kept your body strong during a period of time when sometimes it becomes less strong, because for the exact same reason as you never seeing your spouse sprint at full speed, you stop needing reason to do it sometimes,
right?
Other than taking care of yourself,
right?
So to me, it's interesting, like with the gainer, because like, you know, I would aspire to own like a lake house one day, and like it would be so fun if I was like 65 and somehow some of these like abilities were just like still in me.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it's like, ha ha.
Yeah. But, like, wakes up every morning, walks out into his diving board and just like backflips into the lake.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Because then like all my other fellow 65-year-old friends would come over and they'd be like, whoa,
how'd you do that?
It's like, you're still going.
Still going.
And I'm like, yes.
Right.
Legacy.
That's right.
Yeah.
It makes you wonder though, like, you know, if like on that note, like if in a world where you had like no like job or like other responsibilities, if like all you had to do each day was just like work on your like longevity, so to speak.
Yeah.
You know, like how far could you push it? You know, like if you were just like, you know, that would be such an interesting thing that it'd be so hard to do. It'd be like, our goal with you, we're trying to make you the oldest person who ever lived. And our way of doing that is by having extreme dedication every day of your life to being healthy. So it wouldn't have to be like, you know, extreme fitness. It would just be like what is the best really good maintenance you can do every day? Like lots of stretching and walking and healthy foods and stuff like that.
Yeah, I was going to say probably like some yoga, stretching, Mediterranean diet, you
right.
know, like those beats. And it's a very interesting question too, because like there are certain individuals who we as society can like zero in on and be like, you are uniquely capable of doing something that nobody else in the world can do. And a good example of it is like the guy that like went out to run like the fastest marathon in the world.
Yeah.
And it's like they set up like a specific course, and it's like everything about like the way that it's done, all of the training, all of like, you're not dealing with like competitors. You are dealing with like maybe people who can like run a pace for like 8 miles instead of all 26, but then after the 8 miles you just sub someone else in who can perfectly hold the pace at that point to like help keep you on pace to do the thing.
Right.
It's like you can bring a whole lot of like technology and energy and commitment all in one place to like make sure that this one person can run a marathon in breakneck speed.
Right.
But you're right. It would be so interesting if like we just took like an individual and we were like, your job is to see what the human body is capable of. We have created a team of scientists and nutritionists and like, you know, like trainers. And it's like, you don't have a job. You're like, you are of a genetic makeup that is predetermined to not have associated pre-existing, like, you know, or predisposition to specific diseases,
right,
or something.
Right.
It's like, we're just going to take you as far into the future as we can.
Right.
And see like what a perfectly maintained human being looks like at 110 years old.
Right. But it's like, you know, all the people who started that experiment would never see the end of it, you know?
Also true.
By the very nature of it.
By the very
because
nature.
Because they would otherwise have to outlive that person, and that would not be how it would go.
Right.
Right. Someone would have to like take over at some point. And you'd have to like you'd have to have so much attention to it happening, because you'd want to keep that person like probably in like the cleanest air as possible, and like drinking like really clean water, and probably not being exposed to like, you know, smoke or alcohol or anything like that, like ever.
Right.
You know, but it's like then, you know, at some point, I'm sure you would get into a lot of like argument or whatever about like what it means to live a healthy life. Like, is just like, you know, the idea of like living versus surviving or whatever.
I was going to say, it reminds me exactly of the WALL-E phrase. Like, I don't want to survive. I want to live.
Yeah. But it's like the point of this person would simply be to survive more or less. But like, but I think then you'd start asking like, would they be healthier if they're like having fun doing like things like that, you know, having social interactions, would that increase your longevity and stuff like that? To which I would say probably yes.
Probably yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean,
I don't think this solution is like put this person in a padded, you know, into a soft, completely safe environment where you feed them just the right amount of vitamins every day.
you would need a fundamental balance, like, where you're right, like where like theoretically, depending on who this person is, it could be like, yeah, it's Tuesday, and so today we need to have your weekly unbelievable experience. So you have front row tickets to the Eras Tour, and it's like you're gonna go see Taylor Swift from like 3 feet away. Yeah. You know, it's sort of like that. That is
would they even know who Taylor Swift is?
Well, I mean, that's what I'm saying is like I think that you would be exposed enough to the world, and because you would have to have excitement.
You'd have to have excitement, right? Right.
Yeah,
but like, you'd want to like lead a mostly like stress-free life.
You would need to lead a mostly stress-free life. Yeah, which would be like very interesting because
you wouldn't be like exposed to like some sort of like public following or something.
Can't necessarily be a public following. It would almost have to be like a documentary. Like that's being right. Like that's like taking place unbeknownst to most people.
Right. Right.
Which would be crazy too, because then it would be like a 100-year-plus long experiment, and
right,
so much changes over the course of 100 years.
I know. Then it's like the problem would also be like that the world they were born into would look so different 100 years later.
It would.
Like the people conducting the experiment would have to like adjust, like accommodate, like, you know, a shifting political landscape and stuff like that. You know.
Yeah.
For that entire time period.
Well, and it occurs to me that at some point in time, the hard part probably wouldn't be maintaining the like the nutrition and the coaching and the wellness aspects. It really would be the fulfillment thing. Like fulfillment is unique to everybody. It's your personality's fingerprint. Like not everybody's fulfilled the same ways.
Right.
And so discovering like what mattered to this person and how to achieve it without them feeling like it was just being given to them, because that's the other thing too. It's like, you know, there's a huge amount of satisfaction associated with like overcoming the odds, you know, like achieving something that you thought maybe wasn't wholly possible.
Do you think this is anyone's like hobby? Their like goal is to be the oldest person who ever lived.
It almost feels like the kind of thing where it can't be your objective, because if it was, it would be stressful. Like, you know, it's almost like it almost makes you wonder whether or not like the person who is directly involved, because that would be like another fascinating element to this saga, is if the person who is the subject of this experiment doesn't know.
Oh, right. Yes. So you'd almost need like, could you need like a Truman Show situation where you have like an entire community of people such that like there are people for them to interact with and like projects for them to work on that are like worthy and will help you feel fulfilled, and like everyone there knows the goal is to get this one person to live as long as possible, and like they're all extremely helpful and accommodating, and it's like a like that's what it's all working towards, but the one person doesn't actually know.
I mean, because it's very interesting too, because it's like, you know, with any job, for example, you may find yourself reaching a point where you're sort of like you're mentally prepared for your job to like involve a promotion or like more responsibility, or, you know, like whatever, like you want to feel like the rung is being achieved like one after the other. And when that happens, the job is fulfilling, because mm-hmm. you're sort of like, wow, all this hard work I put into it is paying off. And like, where dissatisfaction comes from is feeling like you've become stagnated. And I feel like that would be a really interesting question to examine and explore as well, is like how to make sure that this person is like becoming bored at the exact right moment that you have the promotion ready for them.
Right.
You know, to where it's almost like, okay, he needs to be bored for like, 60 days. He needs to doubt whether or not this career path is the right one, and then we have to give them the win.
But they wouldn't even have careers, you know? I feel like you wouldn't even have a career.
Maybe you wouldn't have a career. Where I mean, that it's a deep meaning of life question, isn't it?
It is. Like, it is.
Yeah.
Like if you... And no, it's so difficult to know given our own... The paths our own lives have taken, you know? Like, if you... Or like trying to organize a life for someone that's like completely stress-free, does that end up being like very unfulfilling? Or because like, oh, you have nothing to fulfill, you don't have like a job or anything, but it's like, well, maybe we only think jobs are fulfilling because that's the path, like that's the world we were born into.
It's very true. Yeah. Right. Could fulfillment be found in like completely untapped ways?
Exactly.
Oh,
and then it's like, then
that's,
you know,
so interesting,
right? Because then you get into like a, you know, would this person like discover their own kind of religion? Would they be have religion introduced to them? Or
yeah, faith could be a big part of,
yeah, but then that it feels like, yeah, because like would like if you're designing that experiment and this, like it feels like you'd have to navigate like that kind of water too. Like, are you trying to introduce like religion to this person, or do they not even know religion exists, you know?
Yeah.
Right? Because you're trying to like not have like an isolated kind of worldview, but it feels like an intentionally ignorant existence, you know?
The real danger in this as well is that the further into it you got, the greater the risk of the person discovering that they're being messed with,
right?
Happens, like, not even messed with, because like the objective is all there, but it's like there are, I mean, I think it goes to show that there are certain elements in life that can't just be simply like spoon fed to you. There are certain things that like must come about in the organic way, because you can't manufacture them. Because like when you see that person that you have like feelings for or whatever, and you have that like moment of like eyes locking from across the room or whatever, it's like you can't make that up, you can't create that, it can't be artificial, it has to be real,
right?
You know, because then it's like you could pick a series of candidates who could potentially be the right person, but then one, they know that they're involved in the process, which immediately would take away from them having the authentic experience, and two, if the subject of the experiment ever discovered that their significant other, if significant others are necessary for fulfillment, if they ever discovered that they were in on a ploy, that would be heartbreaking.
Right.
It can't be real.
Can't be real. This is all becoming very Truman Show. Which, by the way, do you know where the Truman Show was shot?
In
30A.
No way.
Yes.
Was it really? Wow. It had to be a big deal for some reason.
I know. Yeah.
Okay. I think we write this book and we call it Spearmint.
Spearmint?
And that's the name of the town, is Spearmint.
Why Spearmint?
Because it sounds like experiment.
Oh, experiment. Yeah. I gotcha.
But like Spearmint kind of has a cool, like creepy feel to it to me. Like it
doesn't have like a refreshing feel to you.
Well, it does have a bit of a refreshing feel, but I feel like that feels like part of the longevity.
Right.
Aspect.
It feels like it's like this like Garden of Eden-y kind of like flavor.
Right. Yeah. Like, it can feel both inviting and refreshing, but it also kind of has like a dark, you know, undertone. But the dark undertone is not really by anybody for any reason other than attempting to figure out what the human body is capable of.
Right. Yes.
But someone's whole life. The objective of it is to make it as good as possible. And yet they are the victim of the situation.
Right. Right. That is the situation.
That's the spearmint.
That's the spearmint.
Oh, exactly. Man. I don't hate this. I don't hate this at all.
This is a pretty good one.
Yeah. Okay.
Like we're on to something here.
I feel we can't possibly top this as a conversational. That was, man, I feel like we just like 27 butts ourselves into something great.
Yeah, I know. Now we got like our nice little, I don't even know what genre does this fall into, like Black Mirror kind of situation.
I think it's a dark comedy.
That's right.
Yeah. Cause I think it's got severe undertones, but it's not meant to be dark.
Right.
Like it's not meant to be aggressive even. It's like, it's well intended. It's just like, it's this idea that a single person can be like, on some level, you ram right into the wall of free will. You know what I mean? Like, this is, it's like that, that's the situation. It's like, did they have free will?
Right, right. Because like,
if it's engineered,
and then if they, you know, successfully live to be like 140 or something and are just like still a pretty healthy person, you know, it's like, well, congratulations, you did it, but you know, at what cost?
At what cost?
Yeah.
And for
but
that
are
matter,
they even are it does that person have a human experience?
Correct.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, I mean, especially if like an entire town is dedicated to nothing more than seeing it through. But I mean, there's a whole myriad of other problems as well, which not the least of which is the fact that like, if your significant other, let's say, is not following the same regimen, which is not, there's not something to say that they wouldn't, because if they're living so closely with one another, they may just be benefiting from the same diet, same behavior, same activities by osmosis.
Right.
But also like, you know, what's the average life expectancy? Like 80. It's like, if you live to be 140 and your spouse died at 80, that's 60 years.
Right. It's a long time.
And so like, I mean, that by itself is a whole nother lifetime.
There's got to be people trying to be the oldest person who ever lived.
I mean, there's got to be.
This is, I feel like that's like a Chris Traeger plot line in Parks and Rec.
Well, sure.
Yeah.
But
he's a fictional character.
He's, well, one is a fictional character, and two, he's like the kind of person, it's exactly like I described with Addison Sleep Training, where it's like, as long as everything is existing within the system, it works really well. But if you break free of the system, all it takes is a grain of sand to make the whole thing start to grind.
Yeah.
You know, because he lives such a very, very specific and regimented lifestyle. Like, that can be hard to maintain.
And absolutely can be hard to maintain. But yeah, that would be the job of the people in the town to do for this person.
That's true.
Maintain
that's
true. That routine.
Spearmint.
Keep it up. Keep up the spearmint. Yeah.
That's right. That's right. All right, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in to this week's episode of The Pop. I think we've just peaked as individuals. be sure to check out for our new book/movie coming to a theater/bookstore near you.
Spearmint.
If you have any feedback for the show.
Comes with a stick of gum.
Oh, man. Think about the opportunities there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I like it. Okay, crap. I lost my train of thought. If you have any feedback for the show, you can send it to popcornculturepod@gmail.com.
You got it?
I've said this a million times. Surely yeah. I know our email address.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Yeah.
Try that one.
It's in the description. It's in the show notes.
It's in the show notes. Or if you'd like to support the show, you can do so at patreon.com/popcornculture. I have to stop talking. Links to all the things in all the obvious places. Until next time.
Bop, bop.